So I want to talk to tonight the story of Yaakov's acquisition of the brachas. I really want to talk about two issues. They overlap, but the most obvious one is you know, which jumps out at you is this seems to be this element of subterfuge of lying, as it were, that Yaakov Avinu was using to acquire the brachas. And how does that fit with the concept of emes, etc.? That's the first step we'll look at. So on the first page, so I want to look at a Radak and a Chizkuni. So there's also an Ibn Ezra, but you know, I think that for our purposes, that probably we'll get everything we need to get in the Radak and the Chizkuni. So the problem is that he says, I am Eisa Becherecha, and the Chari, he was not Eisa Becherecha, so how could he say that? So that's the problem which everybody grapples with. So Rashi comes along and says, some say, and this is along the lines of the Ibn Ezra quotes such a pshat, the fitzar chashah efshe l'shanos hadibur. We find when it's necessary, you're allowed to change the facts, kigayin avram, imali achihu, because of the potential danger to his life. He told Sarah to say, "I'm your brother." He tells his na'arim, which are Eliezer and Yishmael, we will bow down and we will return to you. As far as he knew, he wasn't returning. He claims he was there from Shaul, which he wasn't there from Shaul. He claims that the Norim were Kurdish, therefore they could eat Shuma, therefore they would have what to eat, even though the truth is that they weren't necessarily Kurdish, means they didn't have carry. He was afraid that Chazal was going to kill him. He said, "You're going to live," even though the truth is he saw Navua, Kadosh Baruch Hu showed Elisha that Chazal was going to die. He told him, "You're going to go up and be successful," and he wasn't. In other words, they saw that it's necessary. Omra, that's what they said. Okay. So that's the first approach. Davar Acher, the Fishikal Adas, Lo Kikosha, the truth is he didn't really lie to him. Kach Omra Loi, Anoichi B'mokam Eise Becherecha, Shekhar Mokhali Eise Becherecha. But he was saying what really was, the full sentence was, I have taken over, I am in place of Eise Becherecha. I bought the Becherecha, so I'm not doing anything wrong by taking this. Okay. That is how the Chizkuni says. And now, in the first shot, we have to go back to his parallel to the other cases of the Fitzar HaShoah. Avraham Avinu, most people would agree that in a situation of Sekhanas and Foshas, you're allowed to lie. Famous Maisa, one of the most, there was one of the Baalei Chassidus. One of them was a person named Reb Rafal from Brashid. And he was known that he never lied. He never lied. There was those, he'd come in, right, to the house and they asked him, "Is it raining outside?" He says, "It was a minute ago. I have no idea what it's doing right now." A minute ago it was raining, you know. Like, he would never, like, anything near, like, you know, anything which could be. That there was a situation which he was called upon to lie. What was the situation? That there was a person in the city who had been caught smuggling. And in those days, smuggling, the government dealt with death punishment. And you try so, and it was true. I mean, he had done it. There was no real defense for him. So the family came up with this idea. They said to the judge, if Reb Rafal would come in and say that he didn't smuggle, would you let him off? He says, "Yes, because I know he never lies." So he has an opportunity to save this person's life by lying. He's never lied in his lifetime. since he was, you know, whatever, you know, the age of bar mitzvah, whatever, he's never lied in his life. He has an opportunity to save this person's life by lying. So obviously, that's the right thing to do, right? So the story goes, which has been verified. I once asked Rav Shneur Lyman about this story. It's been verified. This is the correct version of the story. That obviously that's the right thing to do, but he never lied in his life. So he davened that he should be nifter and not have to lie. He's nifter again. It's not his fault, you know. right? That's how the story goes. Now, I hate that story with a passion. Not so, I hate it with a passion, right? Because the mitzvah is not, there's no mitzvah to say the truth. The mitzvah is what the person wants you to do. Yeah. Right now, the person wants you to go to the court and lie and save the person's life. So what do you mean you'd rather die than do that? Yeah. So the story is weird. That's why I asked Rav Shneur Lyman if there are other versions of the story. He said no. Actually, there are three versions of the story, which he's found, written in different svarim, you know, because he's a great person to ask those type of questions, and they all have this part of the story in it, right? You know, so
other variations.
Other variations, but at this point, they all seem to agree upon. So, you know, there's some, yes, you understand. So I don't lie, right? I don't lie. So I see this fellow walking up with, you know, with a knife and says, "I'm going to get Reuven." He says, "Do you know where Reuven lives?" And of course, he lives right over there. I don't say he lives over there because I cannot tell a lie. Dear father, I cannot tell a lie. He lives over there. Please go kill him. I say he lives over there. You know, like, you know, and, you know, and he moved away 3 months ago. I mean, you know, of course, with little Charlotte. Right, so he's worried about being killed. Achihu, good. Right.
Did the guy die?
You're worried about him.
What in the story?
Yeah,
he was talking it for the night before. Right, he was zeicher the bread. In his version, he was zeicher to be nifter the night before the court case.
So far.
I mean, if he held it was right, I don't know. Whatever he held, I don't know. I don't understand. But in his version, he got what he wanted, you know. Okay. Some of these cases clearly were situations where there was an endangerment of life. Why is this called a tzarech? To get the brachas. Okay. Now, but look at the redact. Look how the redact says it. Okay, so how do you do it? It's not a kasha. Ki yudeo ha Yaakov ki hu roi lebracha yersim yachiv. V'ruach anavua shetishra al Yitzchak levorachai. Yoser Yisashesh Hilakim Rechasim Birchazachiv, Ki Rotzi Lakel Yasumenu. Okay, so he argued that he knew that he will present himself and the Bereshit will come to give the bracha for him. Adarav, he'll get a greater bracha than had it been Esav being present. V'hichlef ha-dvorim b'makarmas ka'ela enim g'nai letzadik. Under these circumstances, to be machal dvorim and say not exactly as is, it's not a ganai for a tzaddik. Then he brings the story of Shmuel. He was Mashana of Rami Yitzchak. They're sisters. Okay. Mechen Yaakov lekalv yichazavi b'mishina davar lo hayu b'vurz adar v'sheker. Number one, it's not called a sheker because this is it's the truth. He is a proper person to get, so he doesn't get involved in, you know, the lashon of this the fitzar hashoa. He just says, under these circumstances, he doesn't give us a definition. He was told by his mother to do it. Now that's difficult to understand, because if there's an issue to say shaker, the lacha is that you don't listen to a parent to do an aveir. So it's arguing, if we're assuming that it was wrong to do it, so then that wouldn't solve the problem.
Where is there issue to lie? There's no issue to lie, right?
I didn't say there is.
Right.
Do you see how I say how I said it? I said if there is.
Oh, if there is. But it says midvar sheker tirchak, so that's something else.
So this is the machlokes rishonim. How to say midvar sheker tirchak? There is the Gemara in Shavuot on the pasuk midvar sheker tirchak understands it's referring to in the scenario of a bezdin under the circumstances of a bezdin. You cannot get involved in something which will end up with the improper psak, a pialocha. And that's how it's understood. That's how the Rambam follows it. The Rambam does not learn me the Isser of the Tariq. One of the Tariqimits is to say Shaker. And the Demar Tar Sherchuk, he does not learn, it's referring to not lying. And the Sajigoyen also does not have such a mitzvah, nor does the Chinuch. But the Smak and the Smag and the Urayim all learn the Isser of lying from Midar Shaker Tarechuk. So it's a Chag Rishonim, if there's an Isser Deraisa, of saying, and according to them, that's a chiyuv deraisa midar shecher tirchuk. That being said, everybody agrees that's not a good idea, right? The Gemara says, there's four kitas which are not makabel pnei shchina. One of them is kachak ronim. The Gemara says that there's three things Rashi says that he hates. One of them is people who lie. The Gemara says a person who lies is like a bit of a, I mean, there are plenty of nice Gemaras. Right, but mitzad isser, it's not clear that's an isser deraisa. Now, that's why I said if there is a mitzvah, then he wouldn't have to listen to her. We gam leviyah ha yisop. We take him goes alai kilos. Alai yisam renavuah lo yisam lebataya alach bri. Right, so the Targum translates that I have a nevuah. This is what we're supposed to do. Now, so let's just clarify that. The law is, Rashi puts out a chumash in the parsha of the midst of listening to a Navi, that if a Navi comes along and tells you to do an Aveira, a pi based on a Nevuah, you don't listen to him. Except a Navi who's mukhsar to be a Navi Emes, he tells you, Lefi Tzarech HaShoah, that you, to do an Aveira, then you listen to the Navi. So Elio comes and says, let's be makar of a behema on a Bama, during the time of Isser Bomas, we listen to him. Elav Tishmon. Right, so the Mora says in your Bomas, beginning of the 10th parak, that a Navi, who's a Muxa to be a Navi Emes, tells you for this moment to be our word of error, you're allowed to listen to him. He would say that this is that we abrogated the law, and from now on this is the way it is, you will not listen to him, he'd be Chayv Misa. If he's not Muxa to be a Navi Emes, also you don't listen to him, and he's Chayv Misa. A Navi was Muslim. So Rivka was one of the Sheven Aviyos. So we know she's in. She says that I was told by Kadosh Baruch Hu, this is what you're supposed to do. Good. Now there's a Chiv. Yaakov is a Chiv Gomer to listen to her. So that's easy, right? Tak, it's the wrong thing. It's bad. It's an Aveira. It's a whole thing. But a Navi told me to do it. So I listened to the Navi. So that'd be easy. But that's just like his third argument. His first argument, that's not called Gnai Letzadik. There's, that they have. Now, is this true? What are the parameters of this? He doesn't tell us what the parameters of this are. Okay. I want to read you the next page. And first of all, I think it's very well said. The second of all, just the novelty of the person who wrote it, for me, is fascinating. So there's a nice little paperback saver called Lying for Truth. So this is an episode that needs to be examined carefully. We must bear in mind that a full understanding of the action of Jacobino is beyond our grasp. The spiritual gap between one generation and the next is enormous. The older generation, the less we're able to determine the people who lived in that era. We're duty-bound to understand Jacob to the best of our abilities. That's the only way we can learn from him. He's a spiritual giant. We cannot criticism based on our Western values. Rather, we should apply a Torah-based analysis from which we can determine what our values should be. As you shall see, this episode has much to teach us about the nature of truth. Very well said. The author of this kuntras, it came out about 25 years ago, maybe close to that, is a fascinating person. His name is Nelson Slifkin. Very beautiful point about it's important to listen to the Chachamim and recognize the godless generations before us, not chaper with them, and use Torah-based values, not Western values. It's a beautiful piece, right? I just find it fascinating that he's the one who wrote it. Okay. So let's see what we can do over here. So I'm going to skip to. There's a piece over here. Past the Orishas, past the Mithum Liyo. There's a piece over here, says page 51. I'm going to say for his Chavis Odom Boilomoy. It's a very cute sefer, if you can say that. It has each week a parsha that presents a Musser ethical dilemma that to grapple with, and then it brings a lima from the parsha, and then it sends you back to see if you can resolve the dilemma, and then gives you a suggestion of an application which the family can undertake together for the coming week to apply this very sweet sefer. So I only put in the page which is relevant to us. If anybody wants the rest, it's 3 pages long, the whole piece. So if anyone wants the other 2 pages, I can make a copy for you. I can print it out.
What's the name of the
sefer? Sugas b'mutzvah minas l'fi sefer parshas Hashavua.
At the bottom of the page.
On the page, it has the.
Yeah, keep going. Keep going.
There you go. So he says the following thought process. So I'll tell you my example of this, and then you'll see his example. So I presented the following question to my daughter. Okay, there's a new girl joins your class. And you're a very sweet girl, and you like her very much, etc. She comes from a country. In that country, the word yes means no. And the word no means yes. Okay? And that's how she talks. She goes over to you, and she says, Chana Baruch, do you like me? What do you say? And she says, I want to, don't give me any explanations, just give me a one-word answer. Right? So now, if you say yes, I like you, that's the truth, right? The girl will hear no. If you say no, the girl will hear, I like you, but you said no, which is not true. So what do you say?
Of course.
So that's 2 words, right? So she said to me, I like you. I said, no, that's not an option. She said, like. I said, that's also not an option, right? Okay, but those are good answers. I like those answers, right? Good Jewish cop, you know, let's get around the problem. So what's the right answer? The right answer, you say the word no, because that will give the correct message to the girl. Okay, so the example that he gives is the following. He brings from Rav Levinsohn. Nineach Shoshani Mameher Berevisha. I like to keep my watch a quarter of an hour ahead. So when it's 9:45, my watch says 10 o'clock. So you walk over to me and say, and you ask me, Nigajalai Adam Shoyal, Masha Etzicha, what does it say on your watch? What time does it say on your watch? Now, what is the right answer? And my watch says 10 o'clock, right? He doesn't want to hear that. He wants to hear 9:45. So if I tell him 9:45, that's lying, because my watch says 10 o'clock, right? What's the truth? My lie, lana's law. What should I say? Shasha etzli hu eser, right? Right, because what does Shasha and in the Levara ma, Shasha etzli, doesn't want to know what my stupid watch says. He wants Levara es Shasha amitis. He wants to know what the real time is. Elamai, what was the mistake over here? He assumes that I'm not the strange guy who keeps my watch a quarter of an hour ahead. He assumes I'm an average human being who keeps it at the time. So based on that, he asked me a fair question. What he wants to know is, what time is it? That was his question. His words were, what time does it say by you? But what was his question? His question was, what time is it? And the answer to what time it is 9:45, not 10 o'clock. He didn't want to know what time it says on my watch. That's what the words that he said. That's not what he asked. Right? Okay, so that's a fast. So if you want to say it in other words, is the when we discuss emes, is the emes defined by the message or the words? What's more important? Is it the true message or the true words?
The message.
See, so it's obvious that the true message is more important than the true words. Uh-huh. Right? So now, so he suggests this, and on the next page it has this, the same idea from in the name of the Telzer Rav. That what was exactly Yitzchak's goal over here? And he wants to give a bracha to Esav, and he wants to know, are you Esav? According to his mistaken understanding, Esav was the person who was supposed to get the bracha. But his real goal was to give the bracha to the person who was supposed to get the bracha, which he believed was Esav. But what was his real question? Are you the person who's supposed to get the bracha? That is the question. Well, that's the question. Yaakov is the right person. But how does he say he's the right person? By saying the word Yaakov or by saying the word Esav? Because Esav is the code word for the right person. And I am the right person. So that's the same thing as saying 9:45. Even when my watch says 10 o'clock. Or the same thing as saying no when your answer is yes. Because that's the code word for yes. So the code word for the one who's supposed to get the bracha is the word Esav. I am Esav. That's, if, matter of fact, the tells the Rav says, if I would say Yaakov, I'm lying. Because then I'm saying that I'm not the person who's not supposed to get the bracha. And that's not true. You are the person who's supposed to get the bracha. Let's just read it inside. On the next page. So according to Yitzchak Avinu's understanding, the word Esav meant Haben HaRoy LeBracha. The bottom paragraph, on the next page. Hashem Yaakov lefidas zusha Yitzchak Avinu pirusha Haben Shein HaRoy LeBracha. V'chol Tzoyvim Zeh. Okay, so that was how Yitzchak was using those words. Esav is the one who's supposed to get the bracha, and the word Yaakov represents the one who's not supposed to get the bracha. And like we know that it's one or the other. Al v'idas amitah shel kadosh baruch hu gila l'rivka yimeinu al yidei shem hu lehepach shashem Yaakov perusha haben haroi lebracha l'chol atzayva now shem Esav perusha ben shen haroi lebracha. So now we have a machlokes. He says the word no means yes, and the word yes means no. We have this argument, right? So he says the word Esav means bracha, and Yaakov means no bracha. And the Rashi says, no. Yaakov means bracha, and Esav means no bracha. Now, how am I supposed to convey to him that message? Right? So I'm supposed to convey them, etc. In Kenel Levin, Shishlosha Yitzchak Avinu, Shidus Yaakov Shalom Miatobani. When he asked him the words Miatobani, Pirusha Shalshela, he, what it really meant to ask was, Hey, Matzah Haben Roy the Bracha. Are you the child that's supposed to get the Bracha? That, when I ask you, who are you? I'm not asking you, who are you? Right? I'm asking you, are you the son that's supposed to get the Bracha? And the answer is, yes. Mazoya Hayadia Shitzchak Avinu Roitz Ladas. That's really what he wanted to know. Madrusha Hiloy Ladas, Ethli Sag Eksha Bamata the Brachas. I have to give him the true answer. If I would tell you I'm not supposed to get the bracha, that's lying. Now, how do I convey that message to Yitzchak? By saying I'm Esav. Because an Esav and Yitzchak. In Yitzchak's language, that's Esav is synonymous with the one who's supposed to get the bro. That's how Telzerov answers the kash. Yeah.
If we come from the other side, I know this is not what we're addressing right now, but how is Yitzchak, i.e. short-sighted of his ability, inability?
We might get to that.
Okay.
You lost his sight also.
Okay, so that is how he answers the problem. Okay, that's one approach. Let's go back a little bit. Again, putting things in order is one of my challenges. I have many challenges in life. That's one of them. Okay. All the way back to the Arishas. That's just page 4. So this idea that this is from a simple Zisel, not Dalta from Kellum. We have from him, besides the Sefer, he has the Sefer Chochma Musar, 2 volumes, which he wrote. These were written, I'm not sure who wrote these. It was put out by a Talmud of a Talmud. So I'm not, it could be was notes from a Tamidim. I'm not sure it was written by him. Or maybe it was written by him, I'm not sure. Okay. Okay, so he's going to present this idea in a brief form, and Rav Dessler, and we can look at 2 pieces of Rav Dessler, presents it in a longer form, that we have to go back and really re-examine our definition of emes and sheker. Right? Kalav chana mahu emes u mahu sheker. Okay? So now, Reb Simcha Leisler was known for writing very brief, his ideas very, very brief form and very cryptic. Ho'emes, and you know Ho'emes who? Ho'emes. Kavanos ala tutsos emes. Okay. Piers lesser inyan v'yin la mitoi hu emes. Mishmash ala emes me mitoi la tutsos of hu a sheker. Okay. Okay, yotzmi de bereno shalpamim adam oysa sheker v'hu emes. Returning ki yesh mashkas emes me mitosoi. Okay, emes is emes, which is emes is emes. Okay, when I say something is true, if I, it has to be true to its core, to its being, to its reality. I have a person, or have an item, I have a function, I have a purpose, I have something which has a purpose. And if I facilitate that purpose, that the reason why, if I would know b'nevua why the Russian put this here in the Bria, that is the truth in the sense that that's the only true reality, the only true emes is the Kodesh Baruch Hu. So the right that this item has to exist, because Kodesh Baruch Hu wills it to exist. That's its emes. The person does not want to exist, it shouldn't exist. The true concept of sheker is to the point where it has no reality. It's not part of the reality of the Bria. Right? I said right now it's daylight outside. There's no such reality. So the taicha of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, Hashem Elokim Emes, Hashem Elokechem Emes, we say Emes. What does it mean? Hashem is he's true. He's the truth. It means he's real. And something which is not real is not truth. Right? That's what we relate to saying that it's that daylight outside, which is when it's not. That's there's no reality to that. That's what we call that sheker. So the word sheker means it has no reality to it. And the word emes means it has a reality to it. Now, if I could give you over if I would know the true reality of something, what its function in the Bria is, that's its only true reality. If I can facilitate that, I'm facilitating emes. I am treating this item with the truth that it is, with the reality that it is. If I'm going to do something which say the quote-unquote the story as is and undermine its function, that's not emes lamitzai. That's not the true emes. Because I'm creating a sheker with that emes. So if I would have a situation, let's say for argument's sake, that I have a person who's very... If I would know b'nevuah, I remember one time a person said a line, he says, you know, if the Chazish would tell me that this is my purpose in life, I have no doubt that that's what the Russian wanted me to be in the Bria. Right? The Chazish tells me that my purpose in life is to be a 10th grade rabbi. That is my purpose in life. Right? So I got a nevuah from the Chazish, you know, the Ruach HaKadosh of the Chazish, that is what I'm supposed to do. Anytime that you will then pass on a story about me, which will facilitate that, that is a true story. I mean, it has a right to exist in the Bria because it is furthering the function of this item, the true function of the item. If you will go and spread a story about me, which is true, quote unquote, which will undermine my ability to do what I'm supposed to do, so it's true, but it's not true. Because if the result of what it's going to produce is something which is not the Ratzon of Kadosh Baruch Hu and the Bria, it's not true. That cannot be a reality. So the correct definition of emes and sheker is I have to first define Ratzon of Kadosh Baruch Hu, which that's what generates the existence or non-existence of something. And from there, I can measure emes and sheker. Until I've defined Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which Ratzon is what creates the existence of the Bria, or every element in the Bria, every item in the Bria. Until I've done that, I can't start measuring emes and sheker. So, when I in the introduction we said is we have to look at the Torah-based definition, not our Western values. Our Western values, well, truth is exactly the story, exactly as it happened. So, a fascinating example of this. The Torah says, there's an issue of listening to the Lashon Hara. The Lashon Hara, Chabad Chaim points out, means it's true, because if it's not true, it's called Moshe Shemra. What's the source of the Isra of listening to Lashon Hara? Lo sisa shema shav. Do not listen, and the Targum translates, do not be makabel a story which is sheker. What is sheker? The story is not true. Why is it called sheker? But if the Rosh Hashanah said that Lashon Hara is something which is not supposed to exist in the Bria, right? So saying a true story about you, unless there's a toelis, which means that it's mutter to say it, but saying a true story, and even then you're not allowed to believe it, you're allowed to consider the possibility and take steps to address it. Right? But to be macabre, this story is true, when the person said that you have no right to do that, is sheker. But all the details are true. So our society, that's called truth. But the Torah said that's not called truth, that's called shmo de shikra. It's a fascinating point. So that's what he says. So once I take that into consideration, so then, without getting involved in what was the message, you know, the idea of the tells a rav, like that, what was really the question, and what was really the message, and what was really the answer, right? It's much more fundamental. The issue is we're starting with our definition of emes and sheker, which is incorrect, and therefore we have a question, right? But from the Barsham's perspective and the Torah's perspective of emes and sheker, the question doesn't start. Then you can go back to the Radak and say that that's not a Gnad Tzaddik. If a true story which kills people is not a true story. The same way a true story which damages people is called Lashon Hara, right? And therefore it's also to say it, it's also to hear it, and it's also to be makabel it. So telling you that I am the husband of Sarah and therefore kill me, right, is not the Ratzon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to say that. That's not better than Lashon Hara. Right, so when Avram says that I'm a relative of her, which is, you know, what Ochi, like Rashi points out, Ochi is a Noshim Achimanat, means we're relatives. So I am related to her in some way. So I haven't said something which is totally off, but that's the true. That is the true relationship which is supposed to be presented at this point in time, and nothing more than that. If I would do more than that, I'm not doing the Bresham wants me to do. So I have no right to do that in the Bria, but it's truth. Right, that's like arguing about Lashon Hara, because it's the truth. That we know that that's wrong. It's not just that it's wrong, that it's an Isser. It's wrong because it undermines, it loses its right to be something which is functional in this world. That's the point that he says in this short piece. So Rav Dessler says this in the next page. This is in Chelek Aleph. Mitzvah of Chelek Aleph. He says, where you're going to measure that? What's going to be the root of how you're going to chap if you're seeing emes and sheker properly or not? So, ma'o emes, ma'o sheker. When we were young, we were trained. Shemasu, kimishasaprim, uv this kamashi iru. We say the story exactly as it happened, it's called emes. And when you change the story, that's called sheker. That's, you know, that's very simple, simplistic understanding, which has its usage. But there are many cases that that's not true. The Pama also learned about commercial. To say something which is negative will damage him with no valid purpose. And if the emes will damage, you must change it. Producing a result which is not what the Rishon wants to do, it's something which is negative, it's something which is not supposed to be in the Bria, results, maybe the tachlis shel emes. So here he says it much more direct. So it comes out, if you want to say that the Yetzer Hara, the Sitra Achra, right, the Rosham, not only is he empowered to create Dimyarnis, which even though they're false, they look like they're true, he's empowered to create Dimyarnis, which look like they're true, because they're true, but they're really false. That makes sense.
No.
Okay, I'll say that again.
We have to say that.
Okay.
You talk about the Yetzirah?
Like Yetzirah. So Yetzirah, you know, sometimes comes along and tells you, you know, if you do this, you're going to be so happy, and it's going to be so geshmak, etc. Now, the reality is that it's not true. Right? Because when you do it, you're not happy afterwards. Right? But he doesn't sell you that. He doesn't say, you know, do this, you might be happy. You're probably not going to be happy, but do it anyway. He makes you dream. If you steal this money, you're going to be, it's going to be gewaldic. So you steal the money, and that's not so gewaldic. But he sells you sheker. Right? So that, we're familiar with. Right? But now it comes to the only Yetzer, and he sells you emes. Right? So he's like, really, it's not, you know, you can't change the story because this is truth, and you have to say the truth. And when you say the truth, nothing comes bad out of saying the truth. And it's going to be wonderful you said the truth, you know. And he's selling you truth as truth.
But that's the wrong definition of truth.
But the answer is that's still sheker, right? So the reality is, he, you know, not only does he have in his weaponry an opportunity to sell you as sheker as emes, he has an opportunity to sell you emes as emes, really, really a sheker. Because it's not really emes. Okay.
Which also gives us when the Kadosh Baruch created something that's sheker, which exists, but it's not really there.
Well, the Yetzer Hara.
Yeah, right.
Well, Yetzer Hara is a fascinating thing. The Yetzer Hara himself is not sheker. The Yetzer Hara's job is sheker. So he's called sheker because that's what he does. It's like the Yetzer Hara is also called Ksil. So Shlomo Shadron says, he says, you know, the Yetzer Hara is not stupid. He's not a Ksil. Right? Smartest guy we ever met. He says, so Shlomo Shadron one time said, he says, you know, we understand that a person who works with glass is called a glass blower or a glass worker. A person who works with work is called a woodworker. A person who deals with fools is called a Ksil. He says, her name is called a Ksil, not because he's a Ksil. Because we're Ksilim. Right? That's what he works with. That's why he's called Ksil. That's what Shlomo Shadron was Masber, you know. Okay, so the same thing when it comes to his element of Sheker, you know, he's a function of the Bria. The Russian wants him to be there. Now, Lachain, so then he says the next step. Okay, so great. So when am I going to get it right or wrong? Lo yatzliach Adam lechaven hanagasa ela emes lamitzoy. Kolz matzah sholtim by ritzona shel gashmis v'ra ki elav muvaris umata kol al pishi yivosav. If my goals in life are incorrect, I'm going to see the world incorrectly. And they say, "Oysim shomer kasev leim sheris yisrael lo yasu avlo b'lo yadabru kasev." Klal Yisrael, sheris yisrael, the remnants of Klal Yisrael which survived, will not do in things which are improper, and they will not speak falsely. Heim davka oysim shenemar leim l'sheris nachlosoi, v'lo kol nachlosoi. We darshan like this: the misha meisim atzma kishirayim. So on that pasuk, what does it mean? Hano shemesim kolinyone atzmoi, which means all of his own personal things. Hagash mishaloi kishirayim. It's a leftover. It's not the focus in life. Kedavra tofel. Because yivosoi laruchlius rak he mumosim mahanagosim and ikiyem mikol avulakosim. So a person who has the proper hashkafa and the proper goal and focus in life will then see the world properly. And the person whose goal in life is improper and it's got it wrong, so that he's going to end up seeing the world improperly, and he will have a false, a skewed version of emes. Elamisha iker shifasa l'rava l'sheker afim ira be'ezah dvarim shematim diburay v'nagasa l'huvlis. Sometimes he'll talk and get it right, quote unquote. It'll be the story as is. Even if I say a true story, quote unquote, or I present the truth to further my agenda, which is false, you can't call that truth. Because at the end of the day, if that the result of what you're presenting is it's going to come out with something which is not, it's not real and not true, how can you call that truth? So that is the first piece from Rav Dessler.
It's getting really complicated.
What?
It's getting complicated. It's
getting complicated.
Because
that's the Chelek Aleph. Chelek Aleph is the easier value. Yeah. The next piece is from Chelek Dalet. Right, that's a little more complicated. So I'm not going to read all this inside because that's going to be He says, what he presents over here, he takes it a step further. He says, what I want to say is that the difference is Kitzonis and Panimius. A person sees what his eyes can see. Kadosh Baruch Hu sees the inner being of the person. Right? That was Yitzchak's challenge. From the outside, Esav seemed to represent himself. Rabbi Yehuda Miller Zatzal one time said that you meet Esav, you would stand up for him. He looked like the Rosh Hashiva. He didn't look like a picture. He was a twin brother with Yaakov. Right? He looked like he was Yitzchak's son, Rivka's son. You know, he looked like a Chashmat HaMachachav. Inside, there was problems. But the person, you know, as presented, he looked, you know, I mean, he looked chashiv, right? So, the goal in life, we have a world which glitters on the outside. It's enticing. There's taiva, there's gaiva, there's kavod, all the different things which are very obvious, and they pull you towards them. And that's all chitzonius. But if a person whose goal is to find the true reality inside of himself and others, the panemius sees the world in a totally different light. So he takes this point of Amos and Sheker and ties it into chitzonius and panemius. But he says something like this. He says that if in a world which chitzonius is a goal, in that world, each person perceives himself as being independent and distinct. You know, tief in the reality of the world, the Klal Yisrael is connected to each other. So, I remember I one time had a Chavrusa in Tel Shiva, a Yed Tzadik, Mamash Yed Tzadik, he still is a Tzadik. And he one time said the following comment to me. He says, I don't understand, why would you be jealous of somebody else? You know, one of the talents you have in Yeshiva, learning Yeshiva, is you're jealous of the guy who's learning better than you, you know. Like, you have an element of kina for the guy next to you, right? So he says, I don't get it. It doesn't make sense to me. He says, because when we sit in the olam together, each person who does mitzvahs and learns Torah brings more kedusha. So the fact that he's learning well brings more kedusha, makes better, so I gain from it. So why should I be jealous of him? I should be happy. I should say thank you. Right? He's almost right. But that vision was seeing me and the other person as functioning together. So in the true panemius, we do function together. So Chabad Chaim writes a lot, you know, writes in one place, he says, you know, you would never picture my right hand, you know, but my left hand slipped and it hit my right hand. The right hand goes, whap! Nekama! We're Nekama. It's right. It's the same body. So Kleis is all one body. What's the come? But we physically present as distinct individuals. So in the physical presentation, we look at distinct individuals. It's not our problem. So in that, from that point, we want to be distinct. We want distinction. I want to be better than you in some way. I want to be independent from you. I want to be unique. I'm looking for some way that I can have my uniqueness, my distinction. All those words all exist in the world of the Kitzonius. He says, "Sharsa Shiva Kitzonius who he garshes the Niva Afsiyoy." That goes back to I am the focus. That Gemara Kasev says, "Anyway, tell him Yadolano, we're in control." So Matzul Bebizi Acherim. It starts off with making fun of somebody else, and eventually you can lead to Ritzicha, because, like, what's the nafkamina? If it's all about me, so if you're my way, I'll put you out of my way. That's right. That comes along. Esav Arasha, the Ramban says, "Biyav Esav is a bechara," because the Ramban, "Bizu a bechara le Esav lachzoris libay." Esav was mavas of the bechara because he was an achzor. He's a cruel person. What does cruelty have to do with mavas of the bechara? He says, what was the Bechara? The Bechara is the Masara of the Ovis to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now, how did the Ovis serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu? What do they do? They saw themselves that their responsibility was to bring the message of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to the Bria. So the person says, I don't want that. What's he saying? I don't care about everybody else. I care about myself. That's the Torah Slibu. Revolva says that the word Achzorius is from the word Achzor. Everybody else is a stranger. Nobody else is important to me. Everybody's just like a stranger. Who cares about everybody else? So that's that was what where Esau's mistake was. Now, he says in the next page, he says it's different. Ish emes, like I have no need to be unique and distinct and point vis-a-vis other people in any way, shape, or form. Like, why is that real? I once had this aura. Reb Katzel writes in a place that Rishon Salanter was known. That Rishon Salanter's Rebbe was Reb Yosef Zunder from Salant. Reb Yosef Zunder was a nister. He was not known to people that godless of what he was. He was known to be he was the shamish in the city of Salant, you know. But on his own, you know, when he was looking, he would go out to the forest and he would try this. One time he saw, as a young boy, was curious what he was doing. He followed him and he saw the godless of Reb Yosef Zunder. Then he came and so he decided he wants to do the same thing because it's much easier from the vantage point of being a nister to focus on your avodah to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Right? So to that purpose, he did two things, Rabbi Yisrael. First of all, he memorized all of Shas, Baal Peh, Gemara, Rashi Tosfos. So this way, he could learn without ever using a Gemara. So people wouldn't know that he knows how to learn. They think he's an Amoritz. The second thing that he did, he trained himself to compress all of his kavana and his intensity of tefillah, davening, into a very quick and very motionless Shmoneh Esrei. So he looked like he's one of these people, like, you know, it has no connection to davening. Right? So this is what Reb Katzel writes that Yisrael did. So I remember thinking to myself when I read in this piece, you know, I had the following horror. So let's say I knew all of Shas Baal Peh. Gemara Rashi Tosfos is word for word, right? I would probably make sure that you know that. No, I'm not a Balgaivus. I wouldn't say it explicitly. But like, you know, we're learning people saying, yeah, like the more you're almost within that study, involved in the fourth line, you know, I would like throw out these lines here and there to Yurchat that I know Shas, you know. Eventually Yurchat, wow, how many times he quotes that, he must know Shas, you know. I wouldn't say it explicitly, but I would make sure that you know that, right? Right? Yisrael says, I don't want you to know that. It's going to be something which is, if anything, it's going to be something which is a distraction. Because what's left mean if you know it? Well, how is that real? Who cares? The only real function in the world is to what does the Kadosh Baruch Hu want from me? And am I fulfilling that? And Rosh Hashanah is happy with me? Great. If he's not happy with me, not. And whether you think I'm the greatest guy in the world or not is irrelevant. If Rosh Hashanah is happy with me, so whether you think I'm a noise for it, okay, so what? And Rosh Hashanah is not happy with me, you think I'm the greatest guy in the world, what does it help me? So how is that real? Right? So why would I care what you think about me? I mean, I care what you think about me because I want to be able to help you, and I don't want to hurt you, and as much as I care about you, so I have that's a consideration. But once it's beyond that, it's just because, you know, well, what about me feeling good about it? Like, who cares? So he says, that is the, that's why you find a Martian Aaron saying, Nach no more. Like, you know, in their mind, like who are we? We're nobody chashuv. Right? Like, you know, what you think, you know, you're attacking us? Like, why are we important to attack? Like, you know, now imagine a person who had any element of focus outwards and he's being attacked. What's his reaction going to be? Like, okay, whatever, no problem. The Matumah, like, fine, like, I don't care. They're not going to say that. They're going to say, oy vey, you know, they're going to be hurt by it. And you know, they might respond. They might, you know, whatever it is. Because the focus is outward. But that's it's ridiculous. It's not Emes. Right? And then he quotes a beautiful piece in the Chavos Levavos about that. You know, if a person really begets, you know, a focus on the Bria, you'd be focusing on the Kadosh Baruch Hu to the point where, like, it wouldn't be. Now, he brings a fascinating idea on the next page, that, and he then takes the next step of what was Yaakov Avinu's process over here. Right? So what did the Nachash introduce into the world? The Nachash introduced into the world a false picture of the world. That's what he introduced to the world. Before the Nachash, the vision of the world was very clear. And, you know, so like Rashi points out, you know, the body was just a kli. There was nothing embarrassing about the body because, like, that wasn't the focus. The Pnimius was the true focus. So from that vantage point, you could be a Roman and it's not a problem. The Nachash introduced a version that the body is significant, and therefore the body is enticing. You know, he had this whole new version. It's not real. Right? So what's the void of the rest of the Bria? Is to get back to the point of reality. There are two ways to go back to the point of reality. When I'm fighting with somebody, there's two ways to have go back to that point. Menira Leimer, page 19. You can overpower, you can win. There's two ways to win a fight. You overpower the enemy, you break him. Right? He might come back, he might regroup, he might get new soldiers, he might attack you. Because you haven't subjugated him, you've broken him, but you haven't. He still exists as a separate entity. Right? Nitzach legamri shenahu. However, there's another way to menatzeh legamri. But if I know that your approach, how you attack me, is X, and I can turn around and use that against you. You have no neshek anymore. You have no weaponry anymore, because whatever weapon you get, I'll give back to you. The more you make those weapons, so I create a weapon, which the nature of the weapon is, and it sends your weapons back to you. So don't shoot weapons at me. It's a stupid idea. Because every time you shoot it at me, I'll just throw it back to you. So that's a perfect nitzoch. Okay? So now, applying that to the world of the Yetzer Hara. So if I overpower my Yetzer Hara, right, so the Yetzer Hara might come back tomorrow and overpower me. Might come back in a week, in a month, etc. Right? If I find a way to use the ideas of the Yetzer Hara against the Yetzer Hara, so every time he presents you with one of his arguments, it ends up tripping him, then I'm safe. The Yetzer Hara's whole argument and whole sales pitch is sheker. Right? So the Moshe, which he says, in a different place, he says, "Well, you might attack many, right? We become smart by using from our enemy." One of the Yetzer Hara's takbulas is later. Right?
Procrastination.
Right? Do the mitzvah later. Learn later. Take care of it later. You know, be nice to your wife later, right? Okay? So the answer is, you know, it's a good point. You know, the answer comes, let's do the mitzvah later. So the answer is, I can't argue on that. I hope later is a good idea. Right? You know, he's been training. You're training later. So I say, yeah, talk later. So you know what? Right now I'm going to learn. Later on I'll schmooze with the guy. And usually what happens, you do that, you don't talk to the guy later because you're busy learning already. Right? So I take the same thing, the Yetzer Hara, this, and I throw it back to the Yetzer Hara, then I'm much safer. Comes along Yaakov, who's main, he's sure for the Adamarishan, because I'll say that he was like Adamarishan, and he's the goal is to fix up the mistake that Adamarishan made. Yaakov takes the kayak of sheker and trickery, and he uses it against the Yetzer Hara. That's the Nitzachon of Yaakov Avinu. That's what Yaakov Avinu was trying to accomplish. Yitzhar Nikrasa Sheker, Ki Nishko Ikri Hukarcha Sheker. Its greatest weapon is Sheker. Haran Nikra is called the Samach Mem, Aleph Lamed. Why is it called that? Meshum Sheker Malata Hula Sameya Inay Adam Shalo Yukhalir Samus. He blinds you. Silnosa Yaakovino is a Yitzhar Makarcha Emes Levad, Lahoya Nitzchana Batuach. Aksha Shanitzchana Makarcha Sheker Atzmai. I get a mirma, she aliva the emes bechukmasa, beyos lagarma the shem shemayim, nas and itzchon amuchlet. Using the takbulas, and the Yitzhar's like, wow, that's a really good job. You know, wow, he really got it. You know, what the Yitzhar's like, he knows the malacha. That's the full nitzach. That's what he says. Now, I just want to just leave you with one more thought. This idea of Etzim, if you look at the piece from Sifsei Chaim, which is after the piece of the Meryl Bloch, he expands on this idea. He actually brings this from a Zoyer, this idea from a Dessler. And then the last piece, no, actually the page before the last piece, she gives examples. The answer comes as, can you imagine, doing mitzvah shalish shema? Like, yeah, shalish shema, that's great. Yeah, but I do it shalish shema to bring it to the shema. It's just like, now what do I do, right? Don't do ma'asim chitzonim, right? Well, we know chitzonim is panimius, right? Do it later on, those type of ideas. All these things which we're using the Yetzer Hara's own measures against it. The last piece is a piece of Mar Gadol. I didn't put everything in. It's a long piece. Okay. I hope I got the pages in the right order. Okay. So he just says the following. What was Yitzchak's Havamina? What was the Musko? Bats on the Havamina, he brings a Zohar. The Zohar says that Esau was supposed to be Merlid 6 Shvatim, and Yaakov was supposed to be Merlid 6 Shvatim. They're supposed to share the Avodah. Matter of fact, Esau's Avodah was the harder Avodah. Esau's Avodah was to have a tremendous Yetzer, to have all of these things pulling at him, be mixed up with Ra and Toiv and Sheker and Emes, etc., and overcome it. That would be the tikkun for the chait of Adam Rishon. That was Esau's job. The problem is, at some point along the way, Esau abdicated the job. And you find such a concept that a person, there's a tzaddik in a rasha, the tzaddik takes his chelik and the chelik of the rasha in Gan Eden. He says, what does that mean? How do you get the chelik of the rasha? He says, what happens is that the rasha, when he abdicates his function, the tzaddik takes over the function. So it's the tzaddik, so Yaakov, we begin the parashas and Ish Tom Yoshev Oyalim, all of a sudden is going to Golas. I thought you were a person who sits in Oyalim and stays put. No, you go to Golas. Esav, the guy is supposed to be out there, he saw that. Because now Yaakov is Esav. Yaakov took over Esav's job. Esav, by being Mavazah the Bakar, saying, I don't want any, I don't want to build up my panemius and keep, use all of the Yetzirahs against the Yetzirah and overcome the Yetzirah. I just want to enjoy the Yetzirah. He fell into the trap, not fixing, but the goal of the Ovis, he could have been one of the Ovis. I mean, picture that. Esav could have been one of the Ovis. He would have 6 shots on Esav. And then there's an avoid of Yaakov, which is the avoid of which he brings from Zohar. Zohar says that Esau was connected to Eitz Adas Tevura, and Yaakov was connected to Eitz Achayim. Wow. Eitz Achayim is Kol Emes. It's it has no challenges, etc. It's the koyach of putting pure tahara and kedusha into the bria. That was Yaakov's job, but Yaakov took over Esau's job. So Yitzchak, not knowing this, says that Yaakov is the Eitz Chaim. He doesn't need any brachas. What do you need brachas for? He's Eitz Chaim. Esav is the he's going to be out there in the world working, etc. So I'm going to give him as much as I can, make the chitzonius of the world easier for him, so he can focus on developing his panemius. So he needs a bracha, makes metal shemayim, shmanayoritz. He has his whole plan, etc. That's the plan. One mistake. He didn't realize that Esav had abdicated his job. Uh-huh. And Yaakov had taken over the job. Yaakov says, Anochi Esav b'charecha, I am Esav. I've taken over Esav's job. Yaakov is marrying 2 wives. Right? Now, Rashi says that they originally said that the Gedolah LeGadol, Leah was supposed to marry Esav. Rachel was supposed to marry Yaakov. So the Zohar says that really, Yaakov's true Zivuk was Rachel. That was the Yaakov part of him. But the Esav part of him, the true Zivuk, was Leah. So he had to marry both parts. Right. So, he says, Rivka, who grew up in the world of Lavan, and, Besuel, she had a better vision of fakery, and she's able to see through that he's out of this. Okay.
But wouldn't Yitzchak still have to?
One second. So he says beautiful. He says right. Veigash Veishak Lo Yerach is Rech Begadov Vayibarchei. Because I'll say Rech Begadov. So why is that a reason to be mevarkim? When he smelled the people in Klal Yisrael, which are ra. Ah, you have ra in you also. You need the bracha. When he saw that there could be these the Yosef Mashisha and these people, which they have challenges and they're out there and they're doing things which are wrong, etc. That's not Yaakov. That's Esav. So that's when he smelled that this individual coming has this issue. Oh, he needs the bracha. So that's why he gave. That's why that's the to the bracha. And the last thing over here, he says that while he's doing this, right, Yaakov is doing this process of doing it. You only can use the takwuz of the Yetzirah, right? The verse is a person should be asked to be shalom l'shmo, should be shalom l'shmo. So the Rechav Elisha says it's only mutter to do shalom l'shmo if your goal is l'shmo at the end. If your goal is shalom l'shmo, you'll never get to l'shmo, and it's not mutter. So Yaakov, his challenge over here is to use the tachbos of the Yetzirah and remain Torah. And that's why the Medrash says he davened as he was going in, Hatzila min nafshi misvah sheker milashon ramiyah. Save me from misvah sheker milashon ramiyah. You're going in to say Shva Sheker and Lashon Ramiya. You're saying, save me from it. Adarabba. That's what he had at the last page. At that point, he was saying, I don't want to be this. This should not be defined who I am. This is what I have to do. But I'm not a person who says Shva Sheker and Lashon Ramiya. But I'm saying it. Make sure that it doesn't become part of me. Right? It's Kuloi L'Shem Shemayim. Not that I, this is my definition. I'm using the Tabuz of Yetzirah, but L'Shem, not to be a lazy bum and say later, because I want to learn. And that's what they say later to the Yetzirah. Because if I say later because I'm a lazy bum, I end up the Yetzirah one, not me. Because then I'm the same as him. I haven't used Ramiya Latoy, I've used Ramiya to be Taka Ramiya.
But it seems like a steer to how we started out understanding the whole shot of he's not saying Sheker. Yaakov's really saying Emes. So I mean, to go back and say now that you're saying Sheker, but don't let it affect you, it seems like it's a little...
Okay, so that's a fair question. But we will stop here. Because my MS right now is I have to get home.